Bechoros Perek Beis Mishnah Ches 2:8, the last of these series of three Mishnayos of Safek Bechor, and really it's the same thing for a third time. It says Achas Bikra VaAchas Lo Bikra. The case is you have two, let's say, sheep in a corral. One is a first time mother, one is not a first time mother, which means only the first time mother is eligible to have a Bechor, the second one not, no matter what she has, whether it's male or female. V'yaldu shnei zecharim. The next morning you come back, you find two males in the corral. So you don't know necessarily which child belongs to which parent, but you do know that the one, whichever one it is, that belongs to the first-time mother, that's a bechor. So therefore, echa lo v'echa la kohen. So again, one of the males will go to the farmer, and one will go to the kohen. So which one is it? Same machlokas as before. Riptarf nomer ha-kohen borlo es ha-yafa. The kohen takes the better of the two. And that's with vada'us, with certainty. Again, we're retreating for the third time to say that Reb Tarfon holds that it's a certain situation. Again, by the end of this mission, like the previous two, he'll retreat from that and abandon it. But his rationale here is that the firstborn is typically more robust and stronger than the second and subsequent. Therefore, you can assume safely, says he at this point, that if there's one that's more robust and valid than another, it could be presumed safely that it is the Bechor. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Mishalman Benehen. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you can't assume that. It's a suffix. And therefore, essentially, it's a motzum mechavel of araya. Since you have two animals here, one for sure is owed to the Kohen. If one is worth three and one is worth four, we'll assume that the one, you know, at least three is owed to the Kohen. They're just the fighting over the fourth. That's the extra fat on the fourth one, so to speak. That's what he says here. Mishalman Benehen, they are arguing over the Mishamnin, over the fat on it, if you will, the schmaltz on that more robust sheep. And therefore, the Kohen just gets the less of the two, and he gets to keep that, and he'll treat it as a Safek Bechor, waiting to get a mum before he eats it. V'hasheni, and as for the other one that the farmer keeps, Yireh ad sheyistaev, the farmer keeps it and lets it graze until it gets a mum, a blemish, a permanent blemish, mum kavua, and at that point he'll also shecht it and eat it. Until then, he simply can't do anything with it. He can't work it or shear it, etc. V'chayv matanos, and when the farmer ends up slaughtering this Safek Bechor, he will have to give the gifts the Kohen of the Zeruah, Lechayim, and Keva. Again, the rationale is because Memanafshach, however you slice it, they must belong to the Kohen, because either this is a Chulin animal, in which case all Chulin animals, all regular animals, you give these gifts to the Kohen, and if it's a Bechor, so then the whole thing belongs to the Kohen. So either way, the Kohen gets it, and Rabbi Yossi says no, like it did in the previous two Mishnayos. He says, we look at this Midrabanan as if there was a full transaction, like a barter, where what the Kohen gets, he keeps, and he transferred all rights and released all demands on the previous animal, so that totally the farmers, and therefore there's nothing to be given at all in terms of gifts to the Kohen. Shayriosi Omer, Kol She Chalifav Bayad Kohen, Pater Minamatanos. This is the place where the Mishnah speaks it out a little more fully. Rabiosi Shita is, whenever you do a trade between these two male animals, we look at it as if the Kohen has, again, receives what he receives, and in exchange, he's transferred all rights, relinquished all claims on the other animal, so there's no gifts to be given. Rabbi Meir Machayev, Rabbi Meir says, no, you have to give from the Matanos. This is the first time we're seeing this Rabbi Meir, but it's the same sheet as before, just we now know that it's Rabbi Meir is the one who says that you have to give Matanos, and that is the halacha, like in this case, like Rabbi Meir. Meis Echad Mehen, if, again, now, you have the two mothers, one of them is a first-time mother, you come back in the morning, you find two male offspring in the corral, you don't know which belongs to which mother, but you know at least one of them was a Bechor, but then one of them dies prior to the Kohen getting anything, so you have one left. You don't know, was this the offspring of the first-time mother, in which case it's a Bechor, or from the not-first-time mother, in which case it's not a Bechor. So Reb Tarfon Omer Yachalok, Reb Tarfon says, well then take that one and split the value in half, each one gets half. Farmer and Kohen, again your brain explodes, you say, what in the world? I thought Reb Tarfon had, it's a Vadai that the more robust one is certainly the Kohen's. So again, for the third time, he's retreating. He, of course, retreated just one time historically, but the Mishnah says it three times. And he actually holds that it's a Safek. And you're still left asking the question, well, wait a second. If it's a Safek, why not Hamotzi Mechaver Levaraya? And that's what Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Hamotzi Mechaver Levaraya. The Kohen can't prove that he's owed anything, and therefore he should get nothing. Why he's splitting it 50-50? And the answer is, like the previous Mishnah, it's a weird Ukimta case. It's a weird case of an Ukimta. The Gemara says it's where the farmer was Yisrael. He hired a shepherd who was a Kohen. He transferred certain rights to the shepherd Kohen, and therefore, for that reason, they're splitting it. Rabbi Kiva rejects that, says people don't do that, and period. Finally, says the Mishnah, the fourth and final case, whatever the possible permutation is, Zachar Unekeva. You have two mother sheep. One's a first-time mother. Well, not a first-time mother. You come back in the morning. In the crowd, you find two offspring. One is male, one is female. So the best-case scenario for the Kohen is that the first-time mother gave birth to a male, in which case that's a Bechor. But the worst-case scenario is that the first-time mother gave birth to the female and the male came from the second-time mother. So therefore, the Kohen isn't sure if he's entitled to anything. It's a suffix. And since he can't claim what he's entitled to anything, Ein kan le Kohen klum, the Kohen gets nothing at all. As far as the farmer who keeps that one male, since he doesn't know maybe it actually is a Bechor, again, it's restricted, as a Bechor is, from Giz and Avod, you can't work it, you can't shear it, etc. The farmer lets it graze, and when it gets its mum kavua, at that point, the farmer will slaughter it and eat it, and l'halacha also give matanos, give the gifts to the Kohen. Now, when I say l'halacha is like that, like he gives the gifts to the Kohen, I should point out it's actually machlokus in the Rambam and the Tur, so maybe I'm sort of being presumptuous saying the halacha is that way, and really I should take it back. The Rambam apostle, like Rabbi Yossi, that he keeps the matanos for himself, and the Tur says no, it goes to the Kohen.